golf mode now. You're watching golf a little over the weekend, Angel. Is it making you want to get out there? It can't be that freaking hard, right? Just hit
Tyler,
the ball.
Tiger can barely walk, and he's still doing it.
Just hit the damn ball. I'm watching it. I'm going, you just got to hit the ball.
Focus the backswing. Don't speed it up too much. Okay. Keep your eye on the ball.
All right.
You know, kind of lean into it on your front foot a little bit. Follow through.
Okay.
And you got to be confident walking up to the ball. Like, watching Tiger a lot, he'll look at where he's going and then kind of do a little head tilt, walk up to the ball, and just hit it.
You just got to be confident. It's just what you got to do. Now we're going to bring that confidence to the Eaton Country Club this year. Membership opportunities for you to come out and make fun of us too.
That's also a part of it.
You'll probably see us wandering around out there, man. At EatonCC.net. It's a great golf course, and take it from me, a guy that really does struggle with the confidence thing when it comes to golf. I feel the most relaxed playing golf at the Eaton Country Club than I do anywhere else. It's a beautiful course. You got McCarty's Grill there. The food at McCarty's Grill is really good. And I don't say this like salad bar there. A lot of people do salad bars, and it's not always the best stuff. But
when you hear, oh, yeah, let's go get a food at the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh. And Eaton, it's
a little different.
There you go.
Well, check them out online, eatoncc.net. Do you feel like there's not as much pressure on Michael Malone, but really the supporting cast for the Nuggets? Because we are talking about history here. We are talking about a guy that's more than likely, which I can't even believe here we are on February 20th, finally saying it, more than likely going to win his third MVP back to back to back.
Crazy.
It's a championship window that you're in. It is. I have never said that about the Nuggets. Like, and really felt that this is a championship window. Carmelo had the 1 year where you felt like it could happen, but you didn't really think it was a window. The Nuggets, it feels like the next year or two, like this upcoming playoff stretch and the next year, this is where Calvin Booth is going to really hone in with the microscope here and say, okay, I can't waste an MVP here. I can't waste a guy that's doing historic things. So how do we capitalize? Is it Malone? Is he the problem? It's not Joker, obviously. He can't play. He's not the best defensive player in the world, but he's not as bad as a lot of the national media would say. So what is it? And then you got to talking about, Twitter going off and seeing the Joker and Luka together. Every time those two are together, they just look like long lost buddies from elementary school.
They're best friends.
They're best buds. So I said this on Friday's show, that if this doesn't work out this year, maybe next year, maybe more realistically would be next year. Don't you think Denver scraps the current format here of, okay, here's your supporting cast of good, not great players? I mean, you can say Jamal's great if you want, but let's just say for the sake of argument that great is all-star caliber. Do you think that the Nuggets could then say, okay, we lost in the second round, third round this year? And again, none of that's happening, but it could. Then next year, same old song and dance, maybe even get into the Western Conference Finals. Does Calvin Booth and the rest of this organization look at it and say, can't do it with one star? Jamal didn't rise to the top like we thought he would. Gordon is a fine player, but he's not Orlando Magic Gordon. Do we consider a wholesale trade with the supporting cast of those guys, MPJ even, for a Luka-type guy? Because Luka, he would love to play with. And again, you see it on Twitter. It's Mavericks fans saying, get Joker to Dallas. Dallas or Denver fans are saying, get Luka to Denver. I don't know how realistic that is, but could you see the Nuggets go that route? Not necessarily just Luka, but they go the route of James Harden, Joel Embiid. We want to get two stars to mix this in.
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of context that would go into that. What did this team look like throughout the playoffs? Does Murray is he kind of up and down with his performances? Like one night it's 30, the other night it's 15 or whatever. Does the knee issue flare up a little bit again, as we saw just a couple weeks ago? Gordon, I think he'll be fine. He knows his role on this team. MPJ, I think he'll continue to improve in this last stretch, and we'll see how he does in the playoffs. The bench still remains to be seen, but if they get to, like, the Western Conference Finals and it's a game where, okay, maybe Jokic gets in foul trouble or something and you need Jamal Murray to go off and put on a show and he doesn't do it and they get bounced or something, then I could see that. Or I could even see Nikola being, if they get to that point, he gets a taste for it and says, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
We're not messing around
anymore. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Go get me someone I can play with.
Just want to play basketball.
Right.
It changes to, I want to win a championship. Again, I think he always wants to win a championship. It's just different. Like, I think Joker's the kind of guy that's like, yeah, whoever you throw out there, let's work together. Luka has a player option in the 26-27 season. So this would come down to, because keep in mind, Dallas might be in the same exact boat if they don't capitalize, because they think they're in a window. They aren't, but I'm sure that Mark Cuban thinks that they're in a window. Because you got Kyrie and you got Luka.
I don't see them keeping Kyrie long term.
Yeah, I don't even know if he'll want to be. He's a free agent after this year, right? So if you're Dallas and you can't win with the model of one mega superstar, and then it's supporting. I mean, again, I think Denver's supporting cast is better than Dallas's, but they're in a very similar situation.
Could you see Luka kind of forcing his way out? If it's not, you know, I'm doing all this stuff and we're, you know, barely making it as a six seed.
He could. I don't know about his personality type as much. Like, is he happy? He signed his long-term deal. He's making bank. Is he happy being a Dallas Maverick, or does he get down the stretch and go, man, if I'm going to be here in America all this time, I want to win championships and I want to be around some people that I like being around. And not everybody gets to say they work with one of their best pals. That could be a situation. And it's not just Luka, though. Damian Lillard always comes to my brain. And I don't know. He's just, that guy's a different breed, too. Because he's very loyal to Portland, and he's proven and shown that year after year.
Extremely loyal, and I think if the Nuggets can at least get to the Western Conference Finals and Jokic continues to do what he's doing, other players are going to recognize it, and they're going to say, okay, he doesn't play like a Jason Tatum or a LeBron James. I can go kind of be that guy, and he can keep being Jokic.
Gordon was not out of the league by any stretch. But Gordon was fading into that terrible island of being an irrelevant type player.
He was going to get lost in Orlando at some point.
Yeah, and then wherever else he would go, he would just kind of be a Plumlee type. You know, where he's a fine player. Blake Griffin.
Yep.
There we go.
Gryffindor.
Got it. Gryffindor. Never forget again. Blake was like Aaron Gordon. That's a perfect example. Perfect comparison. Blake Griffin was like a superstar. He was on every ad you see. He was winning slam dunk titles. He's jumping over cars, doing all these amazing things. Then it just stopped. And he's still in the league, but he's not who he was. The NBA has a lot of those guys where they're just really good for a stretch, and then boom, they either retire or they just keep playing because they can still play at an NBA level, just not a lot.
Like a Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. And Aaron Gordon was that guy. He was on his way to being that guy. Then he goes to Denver where it's like, dude, all I got to do is move without the ball and get into the paint. Joker's going to find me, and I go up for dunks. I mean, as impressive as his ability to get there is, once Joker gives him the ball, it's all he's got to do is be tall and put his hands over the rim and dunk it. I'm not trying to minimize what he does, but there's no question that playing with Nikola Jokic makes Aaron Gordon's job really easy. Now, Jamal Murray, different story. He still has to create. He's in a different position. But Aaron Gordon revived his career. So you're right when you say, are there other players that start looking at this going, yeah, we see stuff on Twitter once in a while. We don't really pay attention to it. LeBron called him Jokic. I don't really know about Joker's game that much. Then you get a Thomas Bryant who comes here after, what, two to three games? And he's like, whoa. He sees the When you watch a full game of him, you understand the greatness level. So there's not, to me, there's not really pressure on Michael Malone. When I went to media day at the beginning of the season, again, all the right things are always being said, but it did seem like Calvin Booth and Malone have a kind of a chemistry. And I don't know if Booth wants to go, what is this, his first full year as running things. I don't know that replacing your head coach is going to be in the stars for the next couple of seasons, as long as you don't fall flat on your face. You lose in the first round this year, we're having a different conversation.
And I think decisions made in the playoffs will also be something to look at. You know, how does he stagger the rotations? How does, you know, does he rest Jokic too long or too, you know, not often enough, and Jokic is gassed in game three or something? So that those kind of decisions we'll be looking at. But I don't think there's pressure on him. I think he understands this is the best team I have had in the last couple of years. We need to do everything we can to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then again, that's why this could all be a moot point, really, is because you want it to work with Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, and you're piecing it together with these good players, but not overwhelming greats. It's not Phoenix. It's not Philadelphia. And so I think that that's where the real pressure is, and it's going to be on the Blue Arrow to me. Because I could see a situation where if you're Dallas and you don't do much this year, you don't do much next year, where you look at it and say, okay, we got Luka, arguably one of the best players in the league, but we have nothing to show for it. Some teams just don't get it to click, man. There are superstars all over. We just talked about Allen Iverson with Philly. Didn't win a title. Sometimes it just doesn't happen the way you construct it. Okay, you have this great player, but maybe it's better off to ship that player out and you get a bunch of really good players. I don't know that you win a title that way, but you get into the playoffs, you're a regular fixture, and then maybe you discover another diamond in the rough late in the draft. And that's why it's always interesting to see how these teams really operate. When they have their stars, you know, why would they move on from a great situation with Luka? Well, Luka gets tired of it. And they're looking at it going, dude, we are not equipped to build around this guy for some reason. Maybe we need to go elsewhere. An interesting comparison is, not that it yielded a deep playoff run, but when the Nuggets traded Carmelo Anthony, they got back Danilo Gallinari and Timofey Mozgov and Raymond Felton and Wilson Chandler, and they basically just did the same thing. They didn't get any worse. In fact, they were probably a little bit better as a team. They didn't get past the first round. You know, their best year was when, you know, the Nuggets won a ton of games, lost three at home. Carl was the coach of the year. Masai Ujiri was the executive of the year. Gallo goes down with like three games left in the season. So you're without Gallinari, who was your best player at that point. Then you lost to Golden State. It just so happened Golden State was on their rise at that point. The point is, the Nuggets had their superstars with Carmelo and Chauncey. And they did get to the Western Conference Finals. But outside of that, then they had Carmelo and Allen Iverson. Outside of all that, they didn't do anything else, man. George Karl, which was the biggest knock on him, and poor guy's going to have to live with that forever. He's one of the winningest coaches ever. But with the Nuggets, for all those great years, didn't get past the first round more than once. Made it to the playoffs every year, but never got past the first round. So then you trade your superstar off, and you bring in a bunch of okay players, good players. He did the same thing. So there's got to be a thinking of, can we get different stars to come in and work with Luka and Joker and all that stuff? And if that doesn't work, maybe we end up trading him and we just get so many freaking assets. Because Jamal Murray was actually part of the Melo trade. It was a future draft pick. So if you're Dallas and you can't make it work with your superstar, you trade him off and you get current players, you get draft picks down the road. Now, again, this is all very hypothetical. But I'm telling you, by 2025, if neither the Mavericks nor the Nuggets have won a title, it wouldn't be that far-fetched to wonder how realistic a Joker Luka pairing up or a Damian Lillard type would make sense for the Nuggets. So there's pressure. Certainly pressure. 21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Several teams, one goal, win it all. Hear high school basketball playoffs on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, the weather's going to be crazy, I guess, on Wednesday. Is that right? Maybe even starting Tuesday night? Good. Great. Wonderful. No, that's not good. I love bad weather. I do. I just don't really like it when it happens during the weekday. Because then I can be at home. I want to be at home when the bad weather happens.
Let's hope this is the last one.
Got to get through March. March could be interesting. I'm telling you, though, dangerous roads no matter what. Talk to our guys, Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. They're in Weld County and the Northern Colorado area. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. That's trialproven.com. Can you believe St. Mary's is number two in the country in college basketball? And the Colorado State Rams beat them 62-60. Just kind of shows you like what could have been. The Rams were 7-4 at the time. St. Mary's was 9-3 at the time. And the Rams found a way. Isaiah Stevens, also my player of the week. The whole show player of the week this week. Check out a full list. Yes, congratulations to Isaiah, my guy. Is he coming back? Is he coming back? Is he coming back next year? I don't know. Well done. Well done by him. If you guys want to check out a full list of my players of the week, you can go to thewholeshow.com. Isaiah Stevens had 23 points in that game, 5 assists. John Tonjay, 17. I mean, you had Josiah Strong play in that game. He didn't have any points, but he had 4 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He had a steal. He played 24 minutes. That was when that was supposed to be the team, right? Kyle Evans, you had Joe Palmer getting in the mix, but really it was Isaiah Tonjay. Cartier was rolling in that game. I guess he was all right. He had 6 points. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Just goes to show you that sometimes these seasons really take a toll, and it's not just about your skill set. Can you weather the storm on a yearly basis, every single game? I mean, these guys are pushing hard, man. I mean, they're going very hard every single game, every single week, tough in practice. Staying healthy is part of the game, which I guess does give, you know, just thinking about CSU and their battles with injuries and sickness and stuff. And I just talked about Danilo Gallinari getting hurt with the Nuggets the year that George Karl was the coach of the year, and then they lost to Golden State. Does that add more to this conversation of load management, especially in the NBA? And college doesn't happen because you're playing, like, what, 2 games a week typically? Sometimes you'll play a Tuesday, Saturday, you know, maybe a Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. I don't know. Doesn't happen very often. You're playing 2 games a week. I saw that, you know, Anthony Edwards came out from Minnesota, and he kind of said the same type of thing that Kobe Bryant said years ago. He was asked if he could change something in the NBA, and he said, just play. He goes, I just, you know what? We got to go out. We got to play. We got to do it every single night. He's like, I don't really get the whole load management thing. And he kind of talked about what Kobe said. He's like, a lot of people save up just to go to one game. And if I'm not in or the guy that they're paying for to see isn't there, that does suck.
In terms of medical technology and awareness, it has increased so much since then, like even since Kobe was playing. So we know so much more about how the body responds.
Right, like when it is going to be a good time to shut her down.
You can schedule workouts and exercises to like the minute of the hour of when you do it and how quickly your body's going to recover and you know what you can do to prevent injuries and stuff like that. So I agree with that. Play the game.
I do. I do for the most part. I guess if you use it very sparingly, and I'm talking like, you know, once a month. Is that too much? Like, what if it's just once a month? You know, I know we got a back-to-back.
Let's start by getting rid of those.
Well, that'd be the number one thing to do. I lean more toward where you're going with this. Play the game. You know, if you're not hurt or banged up, play the game. No load management. I mean, if you twisted an ankle and it's still pretty sore, okay, don't risk it. Like that kind of thing, fine. LeBron, would he break his fingernail or something? And so he'll be out for
probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks or something. And that'll be the reason why they missed the playoffs. I like seeing Anthony Edwards come out and say that, though. He's a really good player, too. He's a guy that could give Denver fits if they end up running into Minnesota. Yeah, I do lean on that more. Play the game. But then you do see like the wear and tear that some of these teams take on and try to get guys coming back too soon. And there is a balance. You know, you talk about football. Robert Griffith III, when he hurt his knee his rookie year, he was rookie of the year. He hurt his knee and Shanahan wanted him back faster. And RG3 is going to go with him because he wants to play. Well, they put him in that game. I don't think it was a playoff game. I think it was their final game of the season. Or it actually could have been a playoff game, but
I think it was a playoff game.
It was. They lost that game.
They did lose.
But they put him in so he could try to get him back there. And that ultimately, we can have debates all day, but that ultimately ended his career because he was never the same after that.
Absolutely. And RG3 has come out saying, like, I shouldn't have played.
Yeah. And he's stuck up for Lamar Jackson on that side of things. Like, dude, don't play. Don't push it. Because RG3 was a, you know, he got on with, what, I think Baltimore or something like that to be a backup a couple of years ago. His career was never the same. And he was so much fun to watch. He was a joy to watch. I don't know if he would have had the staying power to be in the league for very long. But that certainly ended the discussion. And so that's where we have to really, like when Joker was having the wrist issues at the beginning of the season, it's like, yeah, shut him down, but you have a legitimate reason. You know, you don't want to push it. It's his right arm that he shoots a basketball with. But I tend to agree the just off because you're off is getting a little out of control. But you talked about having the technology that can tell you about recovery. Are they seeing something that says, hey, after 13 games, that's a great time to rest and don't play for like 3 straight days or 4 straight days. Clearly, they're seeing something like that because didn't it really start with Kawhi Leonard? Isn't that where we really started to do the load management thing?
Well, it may be also we have so much information. These players are being informed by medical staff or whoever, hey, this is where you're at. You know, we probably, you know, you could probably play, but, you know, there's a 2% chance of this happening. And the player could hear that and say, ooh, it's a contract year. I got negotiations coming up. I'm just going to sit this game. And it could be a player decision. It could also be a medical team decision. But the knowledge is there and the information is there regards to player health.
And that's why it's just so... I mean, you talk about people complain, oh, basketball player, it's tough. Well, baseball does it. I know they play a million games, 162. That game is also less demanding on your body than basketball.
Just, yeah, you're not.
It just is
stomping on a basically concrete floor for 2 hours.
You're not running back and forth. I mean,
you're not straining your knees with every single move.
Like a center fielder, how many steps does he take in a game compared to a Jamal Murray?
when I played in Little League, I took a lot of steps in a circle. Walking around in the outfield, nothing would ever go out there.
Again, it goes back to the amazing athletes, but the wear and tear is not even there. And there's guys that take breaks in baseball all the time. Hell, dude, the pitchers get like a nick and they're already out for 4 days because the rotation. But then, oh, I got a blisters. Now I'm out for eight.
I broke a nail.
But, I mean, which again, you can understand if you get a blister on your pitching hand. It is going to hinder it. It just sounds funny. He said, Chris, if LeBron can't make it, will Malone be charged with not sitting him?
There you go. Conspiracy. Malone sabotaged the West.
Apparently he tried to get LeBron to play defense, and so LeBron tried to ramp it up a little bit, and then he hurt his fingy.
I mean, he had no shot at blocking that anyway.
I know,
so.
What is he doing?
Just throw your hand into a metal rim.
Yeah, that's just silly.
I saw this report today. It was from NBA Rumors. The Minnesota Timberwolves nearly completed a trade for Bones Highland. But the rumor suggests that Denver ownership was not willing to help Tim Conley and the Timberwolves.
Wow. That's interesting. We don't want to help our guy that left us. We don't want to give him one of his assets back.
Saying they would have done what the Clippers did and maybe a little bit more.
How about that?
So it's on one hand, we got to get Bones out of here.
Could have got Naz Reid.
On the other hand, it's we don't want to help out Conley.
A little bad blood there brewing? We're still waiting to get Calvin Booth on the show. I'm thinking we're going to get him on soon, but obviously the last 2 weeks have been interesting with the trade deadline and then the All-Star weekend, but that would be that would be fun to bring up. Dixon says Pop's kind of, Popovich kind of started load management with Duncan and Ginobili and those guys before doing it with Leonard.
I mean, that was their later years.
Yeah, it was. And Leonard was, other than Leonard, he was still a pretty young dude, but Pop started doing that. He would just say he's not even on the plane. Do you think that the NBA should consider some kind of discount on tickets, though, if they know? And I get that. It's tough, but because I do feel for families. I get that. Like, I always say buyer beware. But you do have to take that into consideration. But that's tough because you bought the tickets. You're just taking a chance. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to go to a Nuggets game and Nikola Jokic wasn't playing, I would seriously consider not going.
You're not that far off. I mean, watching Nuggets basketball without Nikola Jokic, especially last season, not that fun. This year, it's been a little bit different. But still, you want to go all... We're in Greeley, you know, go all the way down to Denver, deal with traffic, go into the game, and then Joker's not even there? I just wonder if there's a way to fix this, because the biggest complaint right now is that, you know, like what Kobe said years ago. A family may only have enough to get up one game like this and come to a game, and they come to see superstars play, and they may never get to see it again. And I respect the hell out of that. And Anthony Edwards kind of intimated that as well. I do. I love that. But I don't feel like load management is going to change until the NBA changes their schedule. So should there be a way to... Because Malone at the beginning of the season said there were a handful of games already blocked out that Joker was not going to play. I get it. You don't want your opponents to know. So stupid. You block load management games out at the beginning of the season. You just say that, boom, February 20th, that guy is not playing. February 23rd, that guy is not playing. Whatever. Should that be something on your ticket? No, they won't do that. There's no freaking way they would do that.
It wouldn't be a refund. It may be like a voucher for another game.
You get a free hot dog.
Then you can start stacking up vouchers because
that would be kind of
no
cool.
One's showing up their games.
That would be kind of cool though if you get to the game and it's like announced that, hey, Joker's off tonight. Everybody gets a free beer except for the people under 21. Something free something. Would that help ease the pain a little bit? Because beers are $80,000 and hot dogs are $40,000. I don't know. Probably wouldn't help that much.
I mean, if it's a warm beer, I wouldn't be happy about it.
There might not be an easy fix, just like the All-Star game. Malone's asked, how do you fix the All-Star game? You don't. You fix the All-Star game by making it flag football. You make it something
basically
else.
Basically what it is.
You just say, this is it. We're going to do something so off the... Because, again, I don't need to see Nikola Jokic ever do this again. He doesn't belong there. He is an All-Star, but he's not an All-Star player. He doesn't belong in that game. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor is from New Belgium Oak Spire. It's a bourbon barrel ale. Saturday wine tasting coming up. It's on the 25th, 4 to 7, the Dirty Dill. They're going to be trying dill pickle vodka.
Could maybe get down with that.
Yeah. I could try that.
I like pickle shots.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally I like vodka.
I like pickle juice.
Yeah, it's good for cramps.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm noted because I'm a pickle.
Pickles and mustard.
I'm a pickle guy. So I've got to give you a jar of pickles, Angel.
Yes.
I'm going to do that. But I got to find a good batch because I got a little...
Save the bad ones for Tanner.
I got a little relaxed in the ingredients process.
Hmm.
Stopped measuring so much.
Oh. So they're mutated pickles.
Oh, there's some that are really hot. Just really freaking hot. And so I got to be careful with that. I don't want you to be like, dude, Brady doesn't know what he's doing.
This is awful.
Yeah. You got to be careful
I'm sure
with
they're
that
good.
Stuff. Eastside Chris, Brady, you leave Cheyenne Wells at 10 in the morning. Get to the arena. Find out Dan Issel won't play because he has tired legs. Would you throw a tantrum on the concourse floor? Well, first off, I don't live in Cheyenne Wells. Second off, Dan Issel didn't play when I played.
And this is when you were a child.
I wouldn't have. Would I have thrown a tantrum on the concourse floor? So like LeBron when he didn't get the foul call? Is that right?
Yeah.
No, because at that age when I was in Cheyenne Wells, and if I was alive when Dan Issel was playing, I would have known what the hell I was doing. Dad would load me up, throw me in the car, take me out, throw me in the gym. There we'd sit and watch the game. My dad wouldn't have cared. He was just happy to be, he would be happy to watch any game at any time. I live in Timnath, he said, Chris. It takes me 45 minutes, assuming I'm not in drive time, to get down to Denver. Cheyenne Wells is 3.5 hours. It's a different story.
You don't get to have a tantrum at that point.
No.
We spent all this time here.
It's taken us 6 hours to get here because we stopped at a gas station, then we wanted to eat, then we got lost. Here's like, yeah. No, I'm not throwing tantrums. I'd be a little upset by it, but not that big a deal. Not for me personally, but I get some people, like little kids that go and their favorite player is this guy, and they've wanted to see him their whole life, whatever. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Rex Ryan thing, man, it sounds like, I don't know, it just seems like it's heating up. That was the big thing over the weekend, that Rex Ryan was sitting down with the Broncos and talking to them about their defensive coordinator gig. It could happen. This has been, I got to tell you, this has been, not just for the Broncos, but definitely for the Broncos, the strangest hiring process I remember. The Cardinals were weird. The Colts were weird. I think the Texans were a little interesting.
The Fangio thing was weird.
The Fangio thing was weird. Sean Payton thing was weird. The Harbaugh thing was weird. The D'Amico Ryans thing was weird. How that was he the first choice or the second choice behind Harbaugh? David Shaw was weird. You had two prominent NFL reporters report two totally different things. We still don't know the truth of it.
We never will.
Why was this so strange? I mean,
is the pool of candidates not that great? Like, obviously, Sean Payton was the number one target for teams, but...
And was he?
Is he just number one compared to whoever else is there?
I think teams are scared right now because they're seeing success with certain coordinators, but they're also seeing massive failures. And so when they
see a coordinator have a good year, and then you put him in a head coaching spot, and he falls apart.
And they just fall apart. So... I'm telling you, find the clip of Jonathan Gannon going up to one of his players, and he just starts going, pew, pew, pew. And the player's like, what are you doing? He's like, it's like bullets and lasers and stuff. Somebody tweeted, the Cardinals hired Michael Scott. See if you can find it. It's so stupid. But I think that teams are just so terrified of making the wrong decision that's going to cripple them for years and years to come.
Why does this look like Murr from Impractical Jokers?
What is he doing? I don't know. Can you play it? He goes up to a random player. Then he finds Kyler Murray working out. It's like, yo, let's go.
That was extremely awkward.
It was very weird, man. These guys are trying to be...
Yeah. What's up, man? How you doing? Good. Good. Shoo, 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 shoo. Shots. Explosives. You can run.
What? So that's Jonathan Gannon making those noises. We want to save
that's
that.
That's extremely awkward.
Please save that. He is Michael Scott.
And like he does like the handshake and then he like slaps the guy on the chest. Like, what is this?
Shoo, shoo,
yeah.
Shoo, shoo.
Shots. Are we taking shots, coach?
What does that mean?
Are we doing basketball now? Like, what's going on?
Like, that's Michael Scott right there. Shoom, shoom.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Good. Good. Shoom, 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 shoom. Shots. Explosives.
It's so unprompted.
Because who is the player? He's like looking at him like, what are you doing, man? It's like Ryan looking at Michael Scott in the office. That's exactly what that was.
That is so awkward.
Oh, my gosh. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint.
What's up,
on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
It is Monday, which means at Cable's Pub and Grill, enjoy all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. Hell of a deal. Great spaghetti. And, man, I'm telling you. My guys, Sean and Nikki over there, great, great people that make this place go. Everybody knows about Cables. Everybody does. My job is just to remind you once in a while. Cables Pub and Grill, that's where my friends meet. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I reason the coaching cycle has been so strange is teams are being more... I mean, how many interviews did the Colts do? They did three rounds of interviews. They're just so worried that they're going to find the next Nathaniel Hackett. That's going to be, oh, we got this guy that's a really good dude. He can connect with players. He does shoom shoom or Star Wars, you know, references. That's going to go well with these 20-year-olds. That's going to work great. We're terrified to find guys like that. We know that we can, maybe the Kyle Shanahans are out there, but do you think the NFL teams are actually looking at the Broncos and going, we don't want to do what they've been doing? I think it's fair to say the Broncos have been the worst as far as head coaching searches and situations in their last 6 years than anybody else in the league. You hire this up-and-coming defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, massive failure. You hire this older up-and-coming defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio, pretty big failure. I don't know if massive is the right word, but pretty big. And then Nathaniel Hackett, this up-and-coming offensive coordinator, massive failure. Teams are watching the Broncos and seeing how badly they've screwed things up over the last 6-7 years. And I think that that's why you're seeing so much more caution here at this point. Because it's definitely strange. It's been one of the the weirdest coaching searches, not just, again, for the Broncos, it's been weird too. It was a weird situation with Sean Payton and Harbaugh and all that. But the rest of these teams trying to figure out what they're going to do going forward, it's been bizarre. And you're right. The Dolphins with the Fangio thing, that was a weird deal.
Very weird.
Huh. He
did his introductory press conference today.
I saw that.
So kinda, he can coach for another 10 years.
Kind of missed that guy.
Well, you can't have him.
I know.
He loves it in South Beach.
Well, we maybe have Rex Ryan, so here, that'll show him. I want to get really excited about all of this, man, but
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with it. I don't know. Maybe it'll all be great. Who cares? Nuggets are back this week. Let's go. Let's get some dubs. Let's get deep in the playoffs. Let's get a title. We'll be back at it on a Top Text Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.